Thank you for being with us today. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, good to see everybody this morning. Just remind us all that we have a promise from God that He will not destroy the earth with a flood. Well, I always feel honored to bring the precious word of the Lord and break the bread of life with you. And I want to continue on in this study on the kingdom of God. And today I want to talk about God's mysterious kingdom. That's what I've titled this, God's mysterious kingdom. You know, as I've shared with you guys, this is a subject that's intrigued me for decades. And I can remember as young guys back at Fisherman's House decades ago, us talking about the kingdom of God. And I remember very distinctly talking with Jerry Kaiser, who was best man in our wedding, and we would sit down and we would say, man, what is this about the kingdom? You know, Jesus is always talking about the kingdom, and we, you know, just wasn't connecting with me. And so I've been ruminating on this for years and looking at it, and so it's a real pleasure to open it and share with you and interact with each other about what you're learning about the kingdom as well. You know, there was one time in the middle of the night, God talked to one man privately, and He said, you must be born again. And then just a couple of verses later, He said, don't marvel that I say you must be born again. And that's the only time born again is mentioned in the scriptures. But the church talks a lot about it, which is good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's valid. It's good. But in the relation of how much Jesus talked about the kingdom of God versus how much He said to one guy in the middle of the night in a private conversation, you must be born again, we are kind of out of whack on the attention that we give each of those subjects. And so, you know, when Jesus, you know, was baptized in the Spirit and in the water, and He came up, part of what John the Baptist said when He was coming and part of Jesus when He went forth is He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near you. And He went around and He did the works of the kingdom. And you're here today, and I'm glad. But come next week, because I'm really excited about what I'm going to share with you next week. But you know, John had, there was a moment in his life where he was in prison, and he sent his disciples to the Lord and said, you know, basically, well, this is really good, but are you really the guy, or shall we look for another? And he said, you go tell John the good works that are being performed. And so there was question, you know, in John the Baptist's mind. And Jesus also said of John the Baptist, there was never a greater prophet than him. And so this mysterious kingdom of God, is I find it very, very interesting. And it's framed as the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so here, Matthew 13 and Mark 4 are two good chapters to look into about the kingdom. Matthew 13 has seven parables, all talking about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want to talk about the first one in Matthew 13. We talked about the wheat and tares last week. And this week we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. So in Matthew 13:3, Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was come up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has," and listen to that, "for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them.'" And so this was the beginning of seven parables that Jesus told there in Matthew 13. And he will go on and we'll probably go through each one of them in this series. But after he spoke this to them, he gives the parable of the sower. And then the disciples come and they ask a question. And their question is, "Why do you talk in parables?" In verse 10 it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" So there's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. When we think about mystery, a lot of times, historical mysteries of the world, we think of something that has maybe some evil associated or with it, or some darkness, or a whodunit. I mean, we all like a good mystery, right? When I was sitting down thinking about mysteries, I thought of the Kennedy assassination. You know, did Lee Harvey Oswald really act alone? And you see people that are on different sides of this. And did D.B. Cooper really get away with $200,000 over the Midwest when he jumped out of that airplane? How did Stonehenge really get in place? You know, there's a lot of mysteries out there. But a biblical mystery, the mystery of the kingdom of God, is something that's divinely inspired. God put all of this kingdom in a mystery. And it's divinely inspired, not as a reaction to the fall, but from the foundation of the earth, at the beginning of eternity, the scriptures tell us. The mystery of the kingdom of God was in God's heart, and he put it out there. And it's a miracle of God's redemption. And it is a hidden thing from God, and he will reveal it when he wants to. We see in the Old Testament the prophetic coming forth, and it's all about the kingdom and the coming Messiah. There's this ongoing prophet after prophet. One comes and gives a word of something that's coming in the future, and he dies and goes off the scene, and it may be decades or hundreds of years later, here's another guy, and he says things. And there's this crescendo of prophetic words that are coming up to the point that Christ comes, and then he says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." We hear the prophets telling us, "Behold, your king is coming. lowly and riding on a donkey. We hear a virgin will conceive. We even see events in prophets' lives like Jonah in the belly of the great fish. And Jesus saying, even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man. So there's this mysterious language and mystique around it. You see Daniel has many prophecies that talk about end times and kingdoms, and there's lots of different things, but he ends with how the kingdom of God will subdue all earthly kingdoms. So it's a mystery that's open but hidden at the same time. You ever, I know when our kids were little, they had this book called Where's Waldo? They still do that. You got your parents, fresh parents, Where's Waldo? And you sit down with the kid, and Waldo's in this striped outfit, and he's hidden amongst all these things, and everybody's looking around, where is he, where is he, where is he? And parables are that way. It's in front of you, and it has to be revealed to you. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So part of the mystery is that it involved God coming down as a man, doing for us what we couldn't do, getting our dominion back that we lost when he told us, they will have dominion over the fish of the seas and the birds of the air and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And we lost that through disobedience and treason. But had everyone known about that, they wouldn't have crucified Christ, because it was necessary that Christ die, that a man die to redeem us from our sins, a sinless man. And so that's part of the mystery. And so as I'm reading through this parable, I'm saying, well, what are some of the mysteries here? And I want to go through some of them. And one of the mysteries is the mystery of parables. The parables, the Lord speaking openly. Some get it and some don't. Verse 10, again, why do you speak in parables? He answered them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. One story told to many people, some hear it and some don't hear it. Why do some hear it and why don't some hear it? Well, some people's eyes are open and their ears are open, and others aren't. That's a mystery. God speaks it. That's why Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Not what you hear, take heed how you hear. Because he's speaking, and you might think you get it, and that's called self-deception sometimes. You have to be open. God, what are you saying in this? There's another mystery in here, and I call it the mystery of discovery and loss. In verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That is so un-American, isn't it? I don't want American principles to guide my life. I want godly principles to guide my life. But it seems unfair. Like, this guy's got a lot. He's going to get more. This guy doesn't have much, and he's going to take it away? Why is that? Well, that's a mystery. It's a mystery, what I call a mystery of discovery and a mystery of life, loss. God just doesn't give to those in need. Now listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't just give to those in need. He gives more to those who recognize their need. It's It's one thing when you come to the Lord, there's a recognition. I need something I don't have. And God gives to you. But it always starts with God, but man plays a part. I've always found in the scriptures and in my life experience, and I'm sure you will too, God's processes are this way. God has a part, I have a part, and another human agent has a part. God usually works that way. He will say, I want something done. He'll use somebody to do it, and then the individual receiving, it's up to them whether they receive or not. And in that, God always does the heavy lifting. And the human agent has a part to deliver a message. I'm a human agent right now. God does some heavy lifting. While I'm preaching, I'm a human agent for God delivering a message to you. But you have a part, and that is to receive. Now, in that equation, one of the legs of those stools is never going to break. God's part. He's always faithful. The human agent, we hope he's a good guy, but he can mess up. But your receiving is not dependent on the human agent. God chooses to use human agents. Are you tracking with me? And so there is the receptors that must be on. There is the heart that must be open. And so how does that happen? And here's another mystery about the kingdom I want to share with you, is the mystery of humility. You see, earthly kingdoms are all about physical domination, going and dominating another culture or another country by strength, by force. But in the kingdom of God, He wants to dominate your heart, but you have the key. He's not just going to come in and overpower you. You have a choice to let Him in. And to do that, you have to have humility. You understand what I'm saying? He says this in Matthew 13, 14. He goes on, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the heart of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And then God says what He wants to do, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You see, God wants to heal our hearts, but we have to open our hearts to Him. So the key to the mystery of discovery and loss is humility. As you humble yourself, you will begin to discover the riches of the kingdom. God wants to give, but He tells us hearts grow dull, ears are hard of hearing, and eyes have closed. So we need to listen. Let me give you some pastoral advice. Listen by listening. Isn't that profound? Listen by listening. Sometimes, most all times in marriage, when there's a problem, there's a communication problem. And we go through this thing with couples called assertively asking for what you want and actively listening to what your partner has said. And so we go through these simple things. All right, we want you. I mean, it just seems so basic. But we'll be counseling a couple. All right, we take them through what is something that you guys would really desire to do. Don't get all spiritual. Just be basic. Is it a trip to a cruise? Maybe you want to go on a cruise or whatever. Okay, now I want you, each one comes and says what they would like to do. Now, I want you to ask your spouse for that. And you have to assertively, you know, get out there. I want to go on this cruise. This would be important to me because this and this. And now you repeat back what they say. Now, most of them get it right when you're right there in the room with them, side by side, and you give them easy examples. But in the heat of the moment, you know what I'm talking about? The equation breaks down in the emotion. And we've actually been in the room with some when they're, and it's not an easy thing, but we'll stop them at a moment and say, okay, tell me what she just said. And he will say, and Bebo and I will look at each other and think, that's not what she said. I repeat again. And so he's hearing what he wants to hear, or she's hearing what she wants to hear. And when I say listen by listening, that sounds profound, but a lot of people are not really listening when you're talking to them. They're hearing, they're already interpreting as things come in, and they're either already got their mind made up, they're not really listening. Do you stop listening to someone because you think you already know the answer? You just, I know that. I was talking to a gentleman that I know well, and he was disturbed about some things, and so I began to talk to him. And I could tell as soon as I talked, his reaction was, I already know that, and he just dismissed me. I mean, I didn't get into it with him. But you could tell he was not listening. So therefore, he closed off from what I was trying to tell him, because in his mind, his ears were closed. Sometimes we don't listen because we have preconceived notions or ideas, or maybe they're a Democrat and you're a Republican. We put up these barriers. Maybe they're a Baptist and you're a charismatic. So we shut off the thing that perhaps God wants to use, because the key to humility is that God could use the very person I most disagree with to send me a message. And you have to humble yourself to receive from that person. And that takes humility. You know, God used, and I'll use the Bible word, an ass to speak to a man one time. God can use anything, anyone. But if someone has committed a grievous sin and you're having trouble with what they did, or you've taken up offense for someone else and now you just shut them off. Now look, we all need to put up boundaries. We need to have boundaries in our life, but don't estimate the power of God to speak through anyone. When David was being overcome by his son Absalom, and he's returning in this turmoil, and he's got his mighty men with him, he's on one side of the river, and him and his guys are on the other side of the river, and Shimei picks up a rock, and he starts throwing rocks at David across the river, and he's cursing David. And one of David's mighty men says, well, would you like me to go over there and cut his head off? And David said, no. God might be using him right now to speak into my life. It's an amazing story. So, to him who has, more will be given, is because your eyes and your ears are open to hear and to receive from all possible areas as though God could be speaking or showing you something through the most unlikely of sources. When you stop believing, you suffer loss. And you can lose the things that you have. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your growth in the Lord. You remember when Jesus cast a demon out of a guy, and he told him, you know, be careful, because when demons are cast out, he doesn't cast them into the pit never to come back. That will happen eventually, but all the enemy is still on the battlefield. So the demon looks for a body. It has to have a body to reside in. So he goes off and he goes and wanders and sees where he can stay. And if he can't find a place, he come back to the place he was cast out of. And if it is swept clean and empty, he can re-enter and he can bring seven more with him. And he is worse off than the way he was when he started. What he had, what little he had, was taken away because it was swept clean and it wasn't put back, nothing was replaced with it. Are you following what I'm saying? You and I experience this in our walk with God. Our hearts are open to God, we receive from God, we move forward. Something difficult in life comes along, or something happens over time, our heart gets hard, our ears start to close and our eyes start to glaze over, and we start to lose ground in our walk. Come on, be honest with me. Any of y'all experience that? You can lose what you had because you've lost a heart of humility. And what the parable of the sower, when Jesus explains it, he's talking about the heart of man. He says in verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So Jesus starts talking and explaining the parable to them. He even says in one place, if you don't understand this parable, you don't understand any of them. The field is the world. The sower of the seed is the Son of Man. If you put both of these together, Mark 4 says it is the Son of Man. The seed that is being sown is the Word of God, and the soil is the condition of the heart. Now, one of the best things that you can know about the parable of the sower, it says, behold, a sower went out to sow. It does not say, behold, a farmer went out to plant. It does not say, behold, a farmer went out to plant. Often people read about the sower and they start thinking about farming. And they start thinking about precious seed. And the seed is precious. But this is a sower that just goes out and sows. The precious seed is sown everywhere, all areas, anywhere. It's just, it's out there. Now, when I'm, you know, working on my lawn and I'm paying, you know, $100 for 50 pounds of grass seed, it's precious seed. I'm not throwing it on the concrete. I'm throwing it in places that is prepared soil. This is not talking about the farmer. It's talking about the heart of the receiver here. So the soil conditions represent man's heart, the wayside. It's a hard footpath. It's like a, you know, a well-walked path. And when the seed hits that, it just hits and it lays there, and the birds of the air come and they take it up. And that's the heart of a man that is hard, and Satan will come immediately to snatch that word out. The stony ground is just rocks. It's hard. It's like concrete. And when trials and tribulations come, that does not have any way to establish a root. The thorns, it's sowed in a place where the competition for the seed to really get down in the soil and germinate, there's so much competition that the seed is choked out by the thorns. But the good ground is soft, pliable ground, and it will produce fruit. And so obviously the seed is affected by soil conditions. And the parable clearly describes to us that in the hard heart, Satan will snatch the seed. One thing you can count on is Satan is a seed snatcher. He wants to snatch your seed. And you need to also recognize your heart condition is changing all the time. After a nice worship service, your heart might be really open to God, and wake up on Monday morning and your wife just said something to you, and your heart can change just like that. But God, guess what? No matter your heart condition, seed. He's putting it out there. So what you receive today, you may not receive tomorrow morning. It's not God's fault. He's putting out good seed. Have you got your ears on? Have you got your eyes open? Or is something going on inside of you that you miss it? Hallelujah. So hardness of heart, Satan will come. He'll send his little minions and they'll try to snatch it away. But you don't have to let it be snatched away. But let me tell you, if you're negative, if you're harboring unforgiveness, if you're cynical, your heart is hard. It'll get snatched away. And what little you have, because you'll get harder and harder, you'll lose more and more and more. Are you hearing me? This is not talking about your salvation. Well, it is in some ways, but it's really talking about God's always putting seed out. Now, you've seen people like this. The seed goes out, but it's received with joy, but as soon as an obstacle comes, it's gone. They're emotional. It's an emotional reception. It's not really depth of commitment, and it can't withstand the trials and the hardness of life. That's not God's fault. It's the person's heart. They have to understand that this life is filled with suffering, persecution, trials, and tribulation, and there's something called perseverance. You have to push through. Hallelujah. We all reach places in life where we have to push through. We don't like it. We wake up and want to pull the cover over our heads. You got to push through by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, what you have will be taken away. You're like a dog chasing his tail, and you're just digging a hole and going deeper and deeper. But somehow by the Spirit, you got to say, no, I'm pushing through here, and my heart's going to be open. So we have Satan that's at work. You have your own reaction to trials and tribulations. And then you have this thing called the world, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. We have this draw on us that's seeking to say, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. And that draw is strong. I mean, sin is pleasurable for a season. And the tug of the world is strong on all of us. We all fight things that Satan dangles in front of us, whatever it might be. It could be a whole host of things. And so we have to push through busyness and things like that. But God wants us to be fruitful, that you can overcome, and He is casting out good seed. So how do we position ourselves to receive? I want to share two scriptures with you, Daniel 10:12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand a decision and to humble yourself before God, an alignment, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Daniel positioned himself in adversity. He prayed a prayer. He humbled his heart. And God said, I heard it the first time you said it. But you got to say it. Amen. Hey, you can think it, and thinking's good, but my pastoral advice is say it out loud for you to hear and for all the unseen and visible to hear. There's power in a spoken word, especially in God's, but also in yours. It can be powerful for good or for bad. In Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So we have the mysteries here. There's many. The mystery of parables, the mystery of discovery and loss. But perhaps the greatest mystery of the kingdom of God is you. The mystery of what is going on inside of your little head. You are not just a audience member in as God rolls out the kingdom of God. You are an active participant. Either in a good way or a negative way. And so really the mystery, and it's not, I just don't want to take it down to this, but we are mysterious people. One moment we're flying high, and the next moment we're like, what in that world just came out of my mouth? Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. What does your soil analysis look like? You know, if you're crazy like me and you do all this stuff in your lawn, I know many of y'all are like, I don't want to cut grass. I don't want it to grow, you know. Why are you doing all that? You're just creating work for yourself. Kenny, you tracking with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Kenny's crazy like me. You'll want your grass to grow real good. You'll take up some samples out of your lawn in three or four different places, and you'll get the grass off, and you'll take it down to McDonald's Garden Center, and you'll say, would you analyze this for me? Or you can send it off to Virginia Tech, and they will analyze it even more. And they'll come back, and they will say, here is where you are deficient. You need to add these ingredients into your soil. What does the soil analysis of your heart look like right now? And then the next time you have a fight with your wife or your spouse, don't call me. But I want to hear, I want you to hear my voice say, what does the soil analysis of my life, my heart look like right now as I'm fighting with my wife? Don't you ask me that question when we're fighting. Let me tell you some things you can count on life. Satan will try to snatch your seat away. Okay? Life will punch you in the gut. The world will tempt you with its pleasures and comforts. And God is always good. God will always allow us to make our own decisions. And if we can humble ourselves and say, God, I need you right now. I need to turn from where I'm going. You are on a path of fruitfulness. It goes on. One of the parables goes on and says, the kingdom of heaven is like this teeny little mustard seed. It's so small. But when it's put in the ground and it grows, it just grows and becomes one of the biggest plants. And then he says, and the birds of the air can find rest in the tree. One of the measures of fruitfulness is how many birds are resting in your tree. How much comfort do you bring to the little birds in your life? Or are little birds running from you? Little birds need shade, need a place for home. It's so mysterious. This little seed is now creating a place of rest for God's little creatures. That's really what church is. Hallelujah. All right. Here's where my challenge is. I want you to close your eyes. How many of y'all right now, you don't like your soul analysis and you're like, all right, I do. I need to humble myself. There's something I need to do here. And just as an act of faith, just lift your hand up and you can put it back down. Yep. Hallelujah. Some of you are, you know, you are being challenged. Satan is on the move, or you're being tempted in some way, or just life is not good. And you just say, God, I need you right now. Lord, help me. Help me to open the eyes and open the ears of my heart. If that's you, just lift your hand up and just as I say, God, yes. Lord, you see all of this. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are always casting out your precious seed. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be that ground where that seed could find a good resting place and go deep and sprout in our hearts. And that we would increase, Lord, and we would produce fruit. And Lord, for whatever we've lost, Lord, we are excited, Lord, that you can restore what has been taken away from us, what we have allowed to happen. And so, Lord, I pray for your grace to watch over this group right here in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, our soil conditions would ever increase to be more and more in a condition to be good for the seed that you're throwing out. And so, Lord, I bless these people in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray your spirit rest on them, in them, and you work through them this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, kingdom kids, mysterious ones, go out and have a great, great week and be used by God as an ambassador. Amen. If you need prayer, we're up here to pray for you.